a very good relationship with each and every one of them on the other side of the Persian Gulf. When a coup took place in Egypt, the United States was very did not impose any sanctions. It was probably not unhappy about it. Regardless of what you may think about President Morsi, it was a coup in the Ukraine. In the Ukraine, they overthrew an elected president, whether they like them or not. But that is how the United States and the Europeans deal with human rights and human values. Yes. And that's why the Iranians have no respect for the European Parliament, because it's obvious that the European Parliament does not respect human rights. People today, and again, this is neither, it's not history, Western governments and Western companies and Western officials who are in power today were involved in chemical and supporting Saddam Hussein and they also helped Saddam hide the fact that he used these weapons, chemical weapons, against Iranians.
Right.
And the European Parliament has done nothing to put these people on trial or to punish them. And people in Iran are dying as we speak.
Yes, well, before I go to Mr. Ayers, let's just give our viewers a chance to take a look at some of the comments posted on our Facebook page. A lot of ideas, of course, expressed there. We'll be right back.
People aren't buying the act anymore. Secondly, the EU does not represent Europe and its people. Unelected bankers accountable to no one, doing as they wish, all in service of the US foreign policy. Europe is America's toilet paper. Sheer hypocrisy mixed with the idiotic notion that the outside world people are buying into the same propaganda and deception the US brainwashed populace are buying into. Save for a respectable minority, it will be the task of the alternative media to balance the information stream. I think it's quite reasonable. I don't like all the rhetoric about attacking Iran, but the human rights could be a lot better in pretty much all countries in the world. Iran is no exception. European resolution on human rights abuse does not reflect the correct picture of the overall human rights and governance situation in the country. The report is false and biased. To be precise, the report is largely fraught with factual errors and inaccuracies.
Some of the comments posted on our Facebook page there. I'll go straight to Mr. Bob Ayers in London. Mr. Ayers, there's the question of whether the European Union, the European Parliament, can be respected, especially by the people of Iran, when it comes to what it says about Iran. Because as Mr. Marandi was telling us earlier, you know, the Iranian people do feel that the European Union has not done enough when it comes to atrocities committed against them, including, as he said, the use of chemical weapons by Saddam Hussein, or even looking at the current conditions now, why the European Union, for instance, is not doing anything for the situation in Bahrain, where people are facing suppression, why it's not helping people who are facing undemocratic regimes. It's taking, it's rather, again, applying double standards. Where can that respect, you know, be gained?
Well, we seem to be losing sight of what the purpose of this discussion is. The purpose of the discussion is to explore whether or not a European Union non-binding resolution saying we're going to incorporate discussions of human rights in our talks with Iran. That's the topic. The topic is not whether the United States supported chemical weapons in Iraq. The United States is not part of the EU.
Mr. Ayers, let me just stop you there, if I may. Even if we are discussing now how the European Union can discuss the issue of human rights with Iran, there are people in Iran, and of course this is the official government stance as well, that it's for Iranians themselves and the officials here to decide how human rights laws, etc., should be implemented. This is interference. Why, they say, should European lawmakers, who've been, one observer was saying, who've been elected by 43% of the European population, be deciding about the government in Iran that's been, you know, chosen by 73% of the population?
I think there's a confusion that exists in people's minds between the European Union saying we want to discuss human rights with Iran and the perception that somehow the European Union is dictating the internal behavior of another sovereign state. The EU is not doing that. The EU says we're going to discuss human rights. We're going to see if there are ways we can improve them. It doesn't mean they're dictating them. It doesn't mean that they're telling Iran how they must behave. It doesn't mean that the EU is without guilt in the past. It simply says from now on, when we discuss matters between the EU and Iran, we want to also incorporate into those discussions a discussion about human rights. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm. And Mr. Malan, did you think Iran, and now one commentator on our Facebook page was saying, if you were listening, that every country has human rights issues and human rights can be, you know, improved upon. Do you think Iran now should be able to trust the EU, enter into talks and, I guess, say, rather than saying that the EU is dictating the internal behavior of Iran, should enter into talks on the issue of human rights?
No, because I think that the Europeans are in no position to talk about human rights in any part of the world. The past few centuries in the world that we live in, the most of the problems are due to colonialism that was initiated in Europe itself. And in the world that we live in today, it is Europe that is part of the problem. The Europeans, until the very end, supported the Mubarak regime along with the United States. The Europeans, in fact, in Tunisia, when the Ben Ali regime was facing the revolution, it was the French foreign minister who said that he will, that the French will aid the Tunisian government bring back order on the streets of Tunisia through their experience and their knowledge in dealing with riots and so on. The Europeans really have little to say when we speak about Ukraine, when the Estonian foreign minister's phone conversation is leaked with Ashton, saying that a third force from the opposition was killing both the police and the demonstrators in Kiev. The European Parliament has not requested or demanded for any organization or any European institution to follow up and see who actually killed the people on the streets of Ukraine, because it's not in the interest of the EU. Mm. So when the Iranians see this, it's obviously seen as an attempt to put pressure on Iran. It is not an innocent request. Mm-hmm. The language is offensive. And it is not language that the Europeans or the British, for example, would use when they speak to the Saudis, because the British right now, for example, they want to sell tens of billions of dollars in aircraft to the Saudi regime. And therefore, they would never make mm-hmm. statements like that to the Saudis, because they're closely associated to that country. Whereas in Saudi Arabia, again, women cannot even drive cars. On the other hand, I myself, my own boss at my university is a woman.
Ms. Bob-Ayers, you know, let's go back to the basic problem here, and that's the problem of trust between Iran and the West, whether it's the EU or the US. Now, right now, as we're speaking, Iran and the P5 plus one are talking in Vienna. And, you know, those negotiations are about building this trust. They're about reaching some kind of a final settlement first on Iran's nuclear issue, of course, before sanctions are removed and normal ties can be restored. At this time, you know, at this particular juncture, the European Parliament coming out with this kind of resolution, as Mr. Marandi saying, it's being viewed as offensive towards Iran. And especially now, John Kerry also speaking today and saying, we are prepared to impose further sanctions on Iran outside of the Geneva, of course, agreement because of the human rights record in Iran. Don't you think that these show that the EU and the US are not trying to build trust with Iran?
Well, the EU and the United States are different institutions, and they have different foreign policies. And what the EU has said is not the same as what the US said. The talks that are underway right now are talks between the European Union and Tehran, not between Tehran and the Americans.
Of course, the U.S. representative is in the talks as well. The P5 plus one groups includes the five permanent members of the Security Council. Ms. Wendy Sherman is representing the U.S. there.
Yes, but the Iranian objection to what has been said was said by the EU. It was in response to an EU resolution. There was no U.S. trigger that caused this reaction to the EU resolution. So, yes, we need to establish trust. We need to be able to discuss amongst ourselves topics that we want to be open about. If there is a problem with stating in advance what one of those discussion topics will be, in this case, human rights, then we can't have a very open conversation. If people are going to be offended every time you put an agenda out to have a discussion, then you're never going to have a discussion.
Well, we are quickly running out of time. Ms. Marandi, if you could just in less than a minute tell us about your reaction to that. Do you think that trust can be built between the sides?
No, not with this sort of behavior on behalf of the Europeans. The Europeans, we have to recall, have imposed sanctions on Iran that have basically killed ordinary Iranians over the past couple of years. They've tried to prevent Iran from even importing medicine. In the early 1990s, there were people in the Iranian government who believed that we should give concessions to the Europeans. And every time Iran gave concessions, the Europeans and Americans became more arrogant and they made greater demands. And I think the current administration recognizes this. And I think that this is a ploy to put pressure on Iran to get concessions, and it's simply not going to work. The government is going to stand firm in its position on the Iranian nuclear program.
Thank you very much. University of Tehran Professor Mr. Mohammad Marandi with us there live from Tehran. A big thank you to our guest in London as well, former US intelligence officer Mr. Bob Ayers. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us here on The Debate. From me, Homa Lizgi, it's goodbye.